Welcome to the next episode of Flint Coat Talks. It's your boy Dano. I'm live here in Austin this morning in the recording studio. And privileged to be sitting with Stevie Conger, the president and CEO of Flint Co., and Mr. Barry Nelson, the CEO of Factor Lab. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, Dano. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great. Good to see you, Steve.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dano. Thanks for letting us come in.
Yeah, very glad to have you here. So I wanted to open today with just a little bit about yourself. And Barry, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about Factor Lab, and why you think you're in the hot seat today?
Let's see. So grew up in construction. My dad was a builder, and then that means I swore I would never be a builder if you grew up in the building trades. But anyway, then you get into it and been in the technology construction business for, probably the last 20 years. And I think I'm here today to talk about the journey that, we're on with Flint Co. Mm-hmm. on helping create daily planning conversations that, drive better outcomes.
Absolutely. Steve, why would you say that Barry's in the seat today?
Barry's here today because, we're always looking for how do we solve what we're trying to do? How do we reach a better solution? Even though we might be on a really good path, we're looking for how do we do that a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And when we came across Barry and our folks started talking about what this might allow us to do, it hit on so many levels for us. Obviously safety is a piece that we keep, at the very forefront. But this actually has some implications that can help us do other things as well.
So Barry, tell us about what it is. What are we talking about here?
Well, and I think you guys, you know a little bit about this, so sure. We'll get into it. I'm going to ask you some questions. So we're talking about this application called Smart Tag It that, and I'll do this, but then I'm going to want you guys to kind of talk a little bit about what you're really doing with it, where the guys go out in the field every morning, and instead of, filling out a form, they record their daily planning conversation. And then we're using AI to organize these daily planning conversations in a manner that, allows people to plan better, get the day started well, and of course do it in a way that, no one gets hurt.
That's something we've done for years, right? Something every morning. If you've ever been on a job site, at Flint Co., we do stretch and flex first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock or maybe 6:30, depending on when the superintendent sets it up, and then you begin to see the groups form, the foreman of the electrical contractor standing there and everybody standing around and them reading from a list of what the activities are that day. And you look over here and you see a different crew and a different crew. There's a lot of onus on the superintendent or even the job staff to be close to that, to understand maybe what's going on today, to listen in, to understand what the hazards might be. So how does Smart Tag It help us have clearer vision towards that?
Well, let's talk about that, but can I ask you a question first?
Go for it,
let's just talk about the real world today and the challenge that's happening with the daily pre-test planning conversation. So on your job sites, Dano, mm-hmm. Over the years, how many of those activities do you think are really delivering a lot of value? And how many times has that activity just kind of turned into a giant pencil whipping fiasco?
Last night at dinner, we talked about this at length. And the one thing you said, Barry, that stuck with me is that people did the pre-task plan with the intent to finish it.
Right.
Like, how quick can I fill this thing out, right? And I would see guys in the trailer at 6:30 in the morning, the foreman filling it out, and he'd be, filling out what his tasks were. And I'd kind of look over his shoulder and say, yeah, that's what's going on. But it was a race to get to the end. And then in the morning, it's kind of a race to get through it so work can start. So I understand that it has been a challenge maybe across the industry for people to get the right information written down. Super hard to review if you've got 25 trade partners on site. When you're talking about finishing a high rise, I'm thinking about the modern downtown, 58 stories, when they're going to be finishing that thing here in the next 6 months. How many trade partners are they going to have on site? How many people are going to sit and read through the PTPs every day? Steve, what's on your mind? I see you getting ready to talk.
Dano. Thinking about this, when we thought about what are we trying to get out of a pre-task plan every day, And really what we're trying to get out is that conversation about what's the work that's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. And have the whole group that's involved in that work think about what the risks are and how they're going to prevent them. So, you know, before when we had, just a foreman sitting down, filling out a pre-task plan, yes, he would have some conversations. But for the most part, that conversation is happening within that person's head.
That's right.
Rather than within the whole group. And so, you know, I liken it back to when we looked at implementing safety helmets. Mm-hmm. We looked at what is it that we're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the time we were trying to solve, how do we make sure we don't have traumatic brain injuries on our job mm-hmm. sites? And so regardless of what the solution was, that's what we were trying to solve for. And we came to the safety helmet solution. Like that, we're looking at how do we drive the conversation among the group of people that are doing the work. And we just feel fortunate that we found a tool that we think is going to help us do that.
Well, I appreciate that. We're very grateful to be on the Flint Code team. And I think we're kind of getting at it here, and maybe this will get to it. Something changed, you know, that was bigger than all of us, over the last few years relative to technology. And so, like, I'll give you an example. If you think back to this, everything we've been talking about right now has been very consistent for 20 years. Like, mm-hmm. that's what we wanted. And some people would go out and they would lead a good conversation in the morning. They would plan those out. And then some people wouldn't, right? Some people didn't even know they were supposed to. I mean, we're a whole wide spectrum of different folks, right? So then somebody came up with a well-intended idea. And they said, you know what I think we're going to do? I want everybody to do this. So we're going to have everybody fill out a form.
Right.
I'm going to make you write that down. And so you take that thing and you write that down. And then you got to take that thing and then you got to read it to these people. And people said, okay, that's a pretty good idea. All right, I'll do that. Right?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Hook, line, and sinker. We were in. We're all in.
And then we spent years and hours and countless amount of time browbeating people to go through this activity. And somewhere along the journey, we lost track of what Steve was trying to say, which is, well, why are we doing this? Are we doing this to get the piece of paper filled out so I have it in the deal so that if, you know, God forbid something happens to you, you know, we can get it out and yell at you? Is that why I'm doing this? No, it's not why I'm doing this. But somehow we lost a lot. Anyway, back to the technology part, it was purely by accident on a job site, the independent building here in Austin, mm-hmm. that we discovered that technology could play a role in helping us rethink this thing. And so, yes, you still need a thing to, it's a good idea to plan, that take a moment to write down your thoughts so that you're organized. But if you record the daily planning conversation, just let people talk normally, let them talk, you'll discover a lot more. We discovered a lot more than what we originally thought we were even looking for. Because it turns out you'll start to hear, like, well, maybe they talk about hazards and controls, maybe they don't. Maybe they talk about the work, maybe they don't. Maybe, and this is, I think, a big deal, hopefully we get into some of this.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't even have a really good definition of what is a good conversation. And then whose fault is that? Right? And so what's happened is that we've discovered together that, yeah, we can learn a lot if we listen to the craft and if we listen to those closest to the work and we listen to our frontline leaders. And then what we're also going to discover, which we'll get into maybe in a minute, is that, well, if I have 100 of these, you know, how am I going to organize them? And can a machine help me do that? And yeah, but the first part we had to realize was, well, this is kind of nonsense what we're doing, and we can do better than that. And then, well, what are we actually listening for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another thing we talked about last night is this allows us to look at a pre-task plan through a different lens, right? It allows accountability at every level. Anybody can pick up their phone and they can open the app and they can look at what the PTPs are the day for any job across the Flint Cove enterprise. And so this morning I'm here planning our talk, right? And when I got to my desk, I had an update from my job site about what the Flint Co guys were doing today. And I pulled it up and I watched it. It was 2.5 minutes. And it was literally a conversation with Chris Zoller and Luis Jaimes Sr. about what Luis was going to be doing on site today. And it was more than just him checking off the boxes. It was, oh, I have to do this. And because I'm painting, I need a ladder. And Chris was able to ask, hey, what kind of ladder are you going to use? are you gonna, is it the A-frame ladder, extension ladder? And he's like, no, it's a 6-foot ladder. And all of a sudden it was the conversation about, hey, this is what's gonna happen today. We know there's a tour from 8 to noon. Luis, you need to be on watch in the back hallway. And it was a conversation about what was gonna happen. Our superintendent was involved, our hourly craft were involved. And now I know what my guys are doing on site today and right. know that they've been prepared to do it safely.
Exactly. Yep. In 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Remotely.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you'll just listen to what you were describing, you talked, if I didn't count all the words because I'm not that smart, but if you listen to what you were saying and you think about how many times you talked about people mm-hmm. as opposed to talking about hazards, mm-hmm. right? And the other thing you said, you talked about the work as opposed to talking about the hazard. So it turns out that what we're actually listening for that matters, just you just did this unconsciously or maybe you did consciously, is I want to know, did my people have a conversation? Mm-hmm. Did they have interaction? What did they talk about? How did they? Because I want to understand how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's different about Flintco is you care about the people and we care about the leaders. And it turns out that this little daily planning activity, which we can use a little app to, you know, collect what we're doing and record the conversations, is really a way to peer into the soul of the company in a way that we've never been able to do it before. And then the question is, well, what are we actually looking for or mm-hmm. listening for? And that becomes incredibly powerful as we're trying to change the industry to build better buildings and get stuff done and do things yeah. differently. It all matters what we're listening for.
Steve, how does that resonate with you when he said the care factor? That's what I was thinking, and I know you've got a comment about
well,
that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's that's always been our focus is the people and making sure that they're planning for what's going to happen that day. And so, you know, I guess just thinking about what you were just saying, Barry, I mean, one of the things that's really powerful about this is that we have we can look in to what's happening on different project sites, which is great for, like, I don't get out to, you know, every project site every day. Sure. I can look into that. But what's even more powerful is that's open to every one of our people that is on every one of these projects. So they can look into how are other people having these conversations every day and start to raise that level of what a really great conversation looks like. So people are having the talk about what's the work I'm going to do today. How am I going to plan for that? What are the tools I'm going to need to use? How I'm going to set those up? You start to build that ability to do that at just a much faster pace.
I watched another pre-task plan this morning from the St. Jude project, and they were doing backfill. And one of the guys talked about when you're backfilling, be careful next to the wall because there's sharp objects pointing out. Like, raise your hand if you ever ripped your vest on a snap tie that wasn't broken off the right way. That's something I've never thought about or never even seen when you're seeing a backfill pre-task plan. And I've just kudos to that guy for bringing that up and saying, hey, here's just another hazard that Dano and Austin could see this morning, what's going on in Memphis today, which to me is, I mean, it's phenomenal. It's great visibility across the enterprise and just to be able to recognize an hourly guy over there that I've never met. But believe me, the next time we're starting backfill, I'm going to be telling my guys, watch out when you're walking along the wall. There's snap ties that could be broken off wrong, and they'll grab you, right? They'll get you real quick.
You know, I think, you know, we're big believers in the more people you get involved in the conversation, the more ideas, the better ideas that come up. And I think that's what's interesting is when we start to have a conversation on a job site and everyone that's there is involved in talking about what the work is, you're just going to, more stuff is going to come to the surface and more of the things that you look out for. I mean, it's a great example, Dano, that, you know, we could have that backfill activity on 10 projects and no one would bring that piece up. But now that it's been brought up, people are thinking about that piece and you're thinking about it.
That's absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And it's authentic. So again, this is this transition that's really important that I don't think any of us really expected. If I'm having to fill out a form I'm filling out the form, I'm trying to get the form filled out to answer the question. I'm thinking in some ways, I guess, I mean, it depends, by the way, it's kind of an insult, by the way, to make people who have like a third grade education who don't speak our language fill out a form in English and us stick it in a box. I think that's a sin, but that happens in our world. But anyway, the point is filling out this form. What that guy did in that thing that you example, he was thinking authentically about whatever it was that he was doing. Mm-hmm. And then magically, he did like knowledge transfer to you because it was normal.
Yeah.
That's how we communicate. And what we're seeing now with technology is this new way to look at these, I don't know, challenges, whatever you want to call it, through just a different lens, right? And it doesn't need to be fake. What I find from these conversations, the ones that are the worst, well, the ones that are worst are just like some guy like reading something because they just thought, oh, okay, I want to,
yeah.
Now you gave me a thing and now I have to read this on video. And because nobody, if you just have magic technology, but you don't have a culture, you don't have leaders who say, well, I know for 20 years I've been conditioning you to read off this piece of paper, but I actually don't want you to read off the piece of paper. I want you to have a real conversation. Then that works. So the worst ones are readers. Another one is like there's preachers. There's people who feel like I need to give you like a lecture in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't personally want a lecture in the morning. Thank you very much. But that's kind of terrible. But the others are what I call this sort of performant. And you can see a lot in the culture of an organization where they're doing the conversation as a performance for the safety guy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they think, because back to your deal, like I thought what you, because they want to do what you want. They're trying, you told me to do this.
And we're trying to do that, yeah.
Exactly, yeah, I'm trying to do what you want. So what do? They say, okay, we're going to do 3 points of contact, stand on the ladder, slip, trips, and falls. And it's horrible. Mm-hmm. And what do they need? They just need someone to see, either a peer or someone to say, hey, look, I just want to show you, like, maybe you could just talk naturally about what we're doing and we can have an authentic conversation and we can have some dialogue.
I think that's one of the things that I've seen that's so neat about it is when I go on and I watch some of the videos and I see where people are up, sometimes they're not a great video. Like, it's not a great video production.
Correct.
But it's a real conversation.
Yep.
And that's really what we were after, you know, when we did this piece. And so you're right. I think it would be easy to set it up as it's going to be this perfect video that someone is up talking about it. And that, to someone, that might look like it's a really good mm-hmm. safety message. But it doesn't get to the conversation. And that's what it is that, you know, we were really focused on, is making sure that conversation happens, because that's where we think we're going to figure out what are the hazards we need to look for that day, how are we going to get our work done most productively, all these things tied together if you're talking about them.
That's right. And it creates layers of conversations. And Dan, we talked about this at dinner last night. Again, I didn't know 4 years ago when we got into all this. You think about it, you think that the thing I'm trying to fix is the guy having the conversation. What you're really realizing is I'm really trying to fix what I'm doing to influence the guy in the conversation mm-hmm. as leaders.
Yep.
You follow me? And it's like, oh my goodness. And so there's conversations that are happening at the, you know, job site in the morning, but now there's conversations that you guys are having about the conversations. And those conversations of like, are we going to reward and recognize people? What do we really want? Do I want a perfect video or do I want an authentic conversation? We couldn't have that conversation because we couldn't see the other. You follow me? And then it goes up.
I think it's back to, we've been trained as managers and managers check the box. Hey, this is done. Yep. Got the PTPs in today. Box is checked. We're ready to go. Right. But leaders are the ones that are going to help influence. Right. And I've got my ethos card out in front of me here. And one of the things that I've underlined on mine is complacency is not part of our culture, right? And kudos to the ELT and the folks that wanted to roll out SmartTaget, because like you said, over the last 20 years, we've been conditioning our people to fill out a piece of paper. And how much thought goes into it, only the person knows, just like you said, Steve, that it's conversation in their head and what they remember about this activity and not a conversation with everybody that's gonna be involved that has some say in it. And so I feel like this also reflects what the ethos says, right? And we're saying, hey, this is, what does better look like? Better looks like this conversation. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's no coincidence of when we're starting to roll this out in our continual safety journey. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, we were, you know, very fortunate. We were awarded ABC's top safety award. But at the same time, we looked at it and said, because of a reflection of our ethos, that we are not going to be complacent with how we have done safety just because we've received this award, and we've had great success with safety over the years. But we're always looking at what does better look like. Mm-hmm. And looking at what we did yesterday is not good enough for tomorrow. And that's exactly why we continue to double down on that and figure out, again, at the end of the day, what is it we're trying to solve for? And let's solve for that, not just solve to get the award.
Correct. Yeah. Well, the other thing that's, I think, a great testament to the Flint Co. culture and to what you're building here, and it goes back to your ethos, is creating a psychologically safe environment. And so if you haven't read Amy Edmondson's book, everybody should read it. If you look at high-performing cultures who outperform on shareholder value, project delivery, profitability, they all come back to say the support by the research of psychologically safe. All right, so what does that mean in this context? What that means in this context is people are not afraid to be on video and make a mistake because there's no consequences for it. The reason that Flint Co. is able to do this, and by the way, win the Pinnacle Award and do the things that you're doing, is people are not afraid to make a mistake. People are not afraid to say, you know what, some of these conversations are terrible. We're not even having some of these conversations. That's okay, by the way. And by the way, we're going to look at this and go, wow, we can do better. I look at that, I'm not proud of that. And and by the way, I'm not going to freak out because I'm not proud of it. I know what to do because way outside of the pre-test planning thing, I know how to respond when we make a mistake, organizationally, as a leader, culturally. Mm-hmm. And that makes all the difference in the world. And that is a competitive advantage because, by the way, you're teaching them let me say it this way. People practice their leadership in that 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. They don't become a leader, but they practice it and they indicate it. But that leadership does also not stop in that 3 to 5 minutes. If I know that it's okay for Steve and I to have a conversation now, I also know that it's okay for me to have a conversation with him in 30 minutes when I'm walking around on the job site and I'm like, what am I supposed to do today? Or how does this actually fit? Or I read the back of this, bag of whatever it is that I'm installing.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you don't have that, that's when bad stuff gets us. And it's not related just to injuries.
It's absolutely. It's having that open conversation where someone can look and say, I'm not sure I have the right tool for what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
Or, what we see so often in this business is the tasks that you plan at 7 a.m. are not the same tasks you're doing at 1 p.m.
Right.
100%. And whether that is recorded or not, if it opens up the ability to have that conversation about here's what I'm doing now, do I have all the right things to do this in the right way, which is safety, but is also the right way to do work with quality, productivity, all the other pieces that go to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. When we had a stand down last week just to talk about safety across the company, and that's one of the things that our group brought up at MER was kind of like, hey, issues happen when the work plan changes and it's not planned again, right? And that's something we brought up to our trade partners and said, hey, let's make sure that the plan at 7 o'clock, when it changes at 1, let's take another 5 minutes. Let's recenter the group. Everybody get together and talk about what's going to happen this afternoon, because that's when you end up with the bag of whatever that you didn't plan that morning. Or that's where you end up with, oh my gosh, we don't have the right ladder. We don't have the right tool. Yeah, the Sawzall will work for this. Before you know it, it breaks and the blade goes everywhere. And hopefully your guy had his safety glasses on, is protected. I want to go back to another thing that you said a minute ago, Barry, is about how do we know what a good conversation looks like?
Right.
And I likened it last night to a conversation with your toddler about how to tie shoes, right? When your daughter or son or your child is learning to tie their shoes and they do it wrong, your first reaction is, hey, you did it wrong, right? But, well, what good does that do, right? Yeah. What does it teach them? It's like, okay, well, how do I do it different? And then it's like, hey, it's the loop, swoop, and pull. And let me show you one more time how to do it. And that's what having the good conversation is about, is setting the example, right? And not only Flint Co. can look at these, I mean, our trade partners, I'm sure, can look at what other people are doing on site as well and learn as well, or even be able to contribute to look out for their brother, to look out for their sister that's also working on site going, hey, I've installed conduit above ceiling and I understand in this building we have to do A, B, and C. You know, if they watch it and they see something that's not there, it's kind of like, hey, let's talk for just a second. Or maybe they get with the foreman or the superintendent at Flintco is, hey, I know this trade partner is working over here and this is something they need to look out for.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, this is, I think, key. You also said something a second ago about that change thing. I'm gonna tie all these threads together.
Mm-hmm.
The key is setting the environment where I actually want to talk to people on my team.
Yes.
Yes. Right? So, and yeah. how do I do that? How do I, as a leader, do that? Because everybody thinks that they do that. Like, I don't think anybody who's out there running work is saying, well, you know, I'm a total turkey and nobody wants to. No, we all think that we are. But how you, and that is very relevant, because we can have all these processes and preaching and all this stuff that says at 1 o'clock, you got to get back together, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so that's all good. But, and I know, by the way, here in Texas, weather changes, right?
Yeah.
And there's a storm that's coming in.
Yeah.
And what do we really want? Do I want you to know everything about what you're supposed to do? Or what do I want? A relationship between you and the people that work with you, that you will go to your somebody, whoever is appropriate in this case, and say, "What? Hey, look, lightning's coming in. What are we going to do? We got to move quick. We got to do this and this. How are we going to do that?" That team is much more likely to be successful, not only in getting out of the rain, right, but everything else that goes along with it for the day, because they have a relationship. Now, what's that have to do with tying shoes? It has everything to do with tying shoes, mm-hmm. which is that if I say to you, it's loop scooping, whatever, and I'm a turkey about it, or I show it with love, and I actually, my son or daughter or whatever, not to be too paternal, you know what I mean, feels like it's okay. Now, try and do that with words. You got one journey. Do that by showing, I better understand. So you take what you're doing here is we're showing people the ethos as opposed to telling people the ethos. You're showing by your better leaders saying, this is interesting. What do you think about that conversation? What do you think about that conversation? And it's not about what we're saying. It's about how people are saying it, because it's tied to the bigger picture of the culture that was there that you're trying to create, right? And reinforce and amplify. So, and whoever thought we were going to get that out of the humble daily planning conversation, right? We just thought we were going to stop that pencil whipping thing, but it in the right environment where people actually want to get better, where you have an ethos that works, and that's what makes Flintco different. Leaders don't have to. You don't have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy my stuff and go out and do whatever you want to with it. Mm-hmm. But some organizations get it and they're like, yeah, we're gonna actually cultivate better leaders because we really care. And that's what I was gonna ask you. Like, this is, you know, for those of you who are listening, is it really true that job sites have less accidents and injuries, job sites make more money, job sites get done well when there is alignment with the ethos or not? And how do you know that?
I say absolutely they get better. What I was writing down here is that the biggest challenge in our industry is communication, right? And when what you communicate, if it's not clearly communicated, right, that's when the disagreement comes up, when expectations aren't met. Maybe the communication wasn't clear. Maybe it was just words, not an example. And I think we've journeyed in this Lean 2.0 journey with doing our pull planning and that kind of stuff to generate an opportunity for everybody to be able to talk. This is another opportunity, right? Flintco Talks started with the opportunity to create a safe environment for our people, the Flintco people, to understand and be able to bring up to their supervisor if something's going on in their life, they need a little PTO to take care of something. And this is all in line. This is the next step to take care of our trade partners.
You know, Dan, I was thinking that same thing, and I'm excited that you got there. Just, I actually wrote down here on mine Lean, and I was thinking, you know, really are the two guiding principles of Lean. And so I think this makes sense that this is just another step in our evolution. And it's not a safety evolution. Mm-hmm. It's just the evolution of the culture and how we continue to drive it. you know, the two, you know, main, you know, tenets of lean are respect for others and Amen. Continuous improvement. And so exactly, if you're having that conversation, you've opened it up, it's because you have the respect for everyone in that group. And it is another way that we show it and another way that we receive something back by doing that piece. And so, you know, I think what you were just saying, Daniel, that's exactly, it is exactly on that same path that we've always been.
And you do it because it works.
Because it works.
And that's the message people to understand.
Yeah.
This is, we're not doing this just because we want to record some videos, or we're not doing this just because we want to rattle on about an ethos. We're doing this because it works. And like, you know, the lean guys didn't just make up lean, right?
Yeah.
It works. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And it's all tied together, which is, yeah, if I love that you use the word respect. If you're not going to have much of a conversation if I don't trust you. You're not going to have much of a conversation That's if right. we don't have any respect for you. And I'm not going to talk to you at all if I never get any gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Zero.
Yep.
The other thing I wanted to touch back on, Steve, is last night you said, I could definitely make this easier for me by giving you guys another form, you operational folks, another form to fill out or something else to do. Right. And so often the INRs come down or the mandates come down. This is the new thing that we're going to do. And they generally add something to our plate. This one takes something off our plate. This one says, hey, you don't have to take this form and file it every day. Guess what? It's in the app. You can watch it. It's easy. It's a way to positively contribute, right? And the people on the job site are positively contributing. You're taking work off my plate, Steve. I love it, man. It's so good.
Well, you know, it's been one of the big pieces that we've talked about over the last couple of years. It's a fundamental part of our 2027 plan mm-hmm. is how do we help streamline the work? How do we, you know, take something, like you said, take something off our plates? You know, we've talked a lot, and, you know, Dan, you and I have talked about that since I was in operations 15 years ago.
Yeah.
All we've done is we have added things mm-hmm. onto the plates of our people that are out on our project sites. And, you know, we had, you know, 20 years ago, the entire focus is on what we're building today, you know, watching the work, helping those people do that. Now we've added on 30 other things that have to be done every day. So if we can look at one way that we can streamline that up again, that focus goes back to the work. And that's really where it needs to happen at.
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
And in turn, building leaders in the process, right?
Absolutely.
Because the folks that are foremen or superintendents are the same people that are project managers for us, that were great managers of the day-to-day task, and they get into a role that it's easy just to stay in that manager role and to really challenge yourself to be a leader. This is the next step, right? And it's standing up in front of your people, and it's being willing to accept their ideas, what they've got to say, and it all works into itself of, hey, it's not about just building a project. It's about building people in the process.
Exactly. You know, our ethos doesn't say that we expect management at every level. It says we expect leadership at every level.
We have enough management, don't we, Steve?
We have enough management. It's about leadership. And that's exactly, I think, what we're getting out of this is it's one more way for people to practice that leadership every day. And leadership is not something that is given to you. It is whatever level you're at, that's what you rise to. And actually, one of the neatest things we've seen out of this so far is, you know, we've had, you know, some of our craft folks and our foremen that we've seen great leadership in how they do pre-task plans, how they're talking with their crews every morning, that we might not have seen that if we didn't have a tool like this that just lets us all see it at a much quicker pace.
Mm-hmm. That, by the way, makes me tickles me and doesn't surprise me. And this is, I think this technology is in, it does a lot of stuff that's good and bad. You can get into all that. But one of the things that it is helping us do is we're shifting away from using technology for you to tell me what you think I want you to tell me about the work that you did, and moving to, let me just listen to you do work. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the work that you're doing as a leader is leading. And in this case, you're going to spend 3 to 5 minutes leading. Now, what that does is it allows us to listen and to figure out, well, okay, is that the is that the leadership that I'm looking for? And if so, we have a way to amplify and multiply. Mm-hmm. And if it isn't, we can take the content that we already have, which are the good leaders, which might be hidden, and let other people see them and come to their own conclusions about what they think about that leader leading. You will never get that from a form, and we'll never get that from the old way of, hey, you know, you got to come out and tell me how you did your thing, and I'm going to fill out a stupid survey. I mean, there's a time and a place for all those things, but this is the new way of thinking about it. If you're grounded in an ethos, psychologically safe, I really care, we are going to get better, it's okay to make a mistake. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and I like the care level, because I feel like that's something that's important. It's maybe something that hasn't been brought up in the last 50 years in the construction industry, right? We're all macho, we're all type A, we're suppress your feelings and get out and do the job and, you know, pull up your bootstraps type people, and that's what has made this country incredible. But I think what makes the company incredible is the care level, right? And the ability to forward think and say that, hey, this is what better looks like. This is an opportunity for my people. This is an opportunity for everybody else that has a general care level for the greatest asset of the company, which is our people and even our trade partners, and that there's a care level there. Steve, does that resonate with one of the reasons why we took this journey with Smart Taggett?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, when I think about this, it comes down to, are we showing that care to each one of the people that we have out on our job sites every day? I mean, you've heard me say it when I get on my soapbox that our number one job every day is making sure that everyone on our project sites goes home the same way they came to work that day. Absolutely. Or better, yeah. Actually, yeah. Or better. Yeah. And, you know, being able to do this just allows that conversation that people know that we care about it. We know mm-hmm. that they know that we care about, you know, that trade partner being successful on the mm-hmm. project site, our own people being successful. We want them to feel like they're winning each day. And to go home better than they came there every day.
Absolutely. And I think this is something like we're not the PTP police, right? This is an opportunity, like you said, a different lens allows us some visibility into what's happening on a daily basis, and an opportunity that if we see something that's maybe not quite right, that we can do the correction. We can do the, hey, let me show you a little bit different, rather than, hey, you didn't fill out your form right.
Right. Well, and we were talking about this last night, and I was going to tie it to your care thing. Some of this is counterintuitive. And again, technology's allowed us to see something that maybe somebody else did, but I didn't know this when we got started on this whole thing. So everybody wants a better conversation. So, and you think about it, if you started out the original thing, it says, okay, well, what do you want a better, it's a safety thing, so I want a better safety conversation. People talk about hazards and controls. It's logical. And that's what we thought, too. But it turns out that there's an order of operations to actually getting a better conversation. So you can use AI, you can score these things, and let's just, for the purpose of this conversation, a 35 is the highest conversation. They're typically, by the way, a conversation that's a 35 will have lots of different people interacting, equal number of turns, they'll talk about the high hazards, talk about the real hazards, people are engaged. It's a better conversation. Less on the spectrum, not as good of a conversation, more of a monologue. Okay, so if you want more 35s, what are the characteristics of it? And you look at the correlations. There are no hazard or control correlations to a high-performing conversation. None of them. Housekeeping, falls above 6 feet, you could do it all day long, nothing. But when they start talking about the work, the actual conversations actually get better. So it turns out if you want a better conversation, you actually need to get the guys to talk about the work. And the reason for that, we have many hypotheses on those, but some of that because people are not just doing a performance anymore, they're actually talking about the real work. And if you talk the real work, you're not really faking it, you're talking about what you're really doing, not like fake, kind mm-hmm. of weird, like list out 17 stupid steps, like just this is what we're going to do today. Anyway, and then they'll talk about the hazards and controls more, and that's all good. You start to get a soft correlation between those, it starts to go up. But the big steep part of the correlation to a higher conversation comes back to care. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, care, by the way, has lots of different dimensions to it. There's a whole bunch of stuff about what language is in care. But it turns out that if the leaders show gratitude, respect, they're authentic, they have a positive sort of attitude, it creates the environment where people will talk more about the work. And when they talk more about the work, then they talk more about the hazards and control. So it turns out that it's not just care as in this soft thing that I, you know, it's difficult to understand. It's leaders create the environment where the men know that they, the two parties care about each other. I actually care about doing a good job today. I actually care about us getting this done. I actually care about you. Then they actually talk about the work. And then when they actually talk about the work, they talk about the hazards and controls. So if you want a better conversation, you know, teach your people not to be jerks in the morning, right? If that's what you want. Now, if you don't want that, then just go rattle off hazards and controls and you'll get what you're going to get. But if you don't have a culture that cares about that, then you're never going to get there. And the problem is, we can say all this until we're blue in the face, but until you see it, I as a leader don't exactly know what you mean. Back to what you said before, Dano, this communication of care, I think it's widely misunderstood, right? It's not kumbaya, Barney, hug you stuff. Yeah. It's, I'm looking you in the eyes, you're on your meds. Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you good? You got what you need? How, you know what I mean? And there's a few seconds, by the way, what's your research that supports this, a few seconds of a normal conversation so that we like, yeah, about not, maybe not even necessarily about the work. Like, let's get going. The best conversations, there's laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they care about each other. You can't sort of, you know, I don't know how to say it like, but, and that comes from, not from the 3 to 5 minutes. It comes from the other 7 hours and 45 minutes, right? That manifests itself in this 3 to 5, and that's what you're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I wrote down, what you just said was about the gratitude, respect, authenticity, and positive attitude. And I think you don't have the authenticity when somebody's reading the two-page toolbox talk about ladder safety or about SDS, right? And it's real life examples that people will bring. And then also the positive attitude, right? What's great about the video is it's, you can see if your foreman is down.
Right.
Easily, yep. You know, and maybe it's a Friday morning and the foreman's kind of like, yeah, hey, we're here and we're doing this, we're doing that. It's a trigger to me, trigger to my superintendent to say, hey, let's go check on him, see what's going on. And, you know, then you find out, oh, his daughter was in the ER last night. You know, something going on, or, you know, dad had a fall and had to take him to the hospital. And it's kind of like, hey, are you fit to be here today, right? Are you fit to lead? And also, the positive attitude doesn't have to just be brought by the foreman.
Right.
It doesn't just to be brought by the person that's bringing it. Anybody in the group now has the opportunity to chime in or create the joke or create the know-how or let me show you, this is something I typically do. You're doing it today. Let me tell you.
That's right.
And then everybody can bring the weather, and it's not just on the foreman. And if they've had a long night, somebody else can be the pick-me-up for the crew.
That is 100% correct. And it's setting the expectation. This is, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get this done.
That's such a great tie, isn't that we're all in this together. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, part of our job is to look out for each other.
Right.
And if you get everyone on that crew thinking that same way, that we're all out here responsible for each other, we're all out looking for each other, you're just going to get a closer tie on what they do every day. So,
and go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, one of the things I thought, you know, so interesting as we started to go into this, you know, we look at our data a lot, and what does it tell us? And I think what we never thought was, is there a way to look at our data about what a good conversation looks like?
Right.
And then use that to help show other people what a good conversation looks like. Because, you know, we don't think we have anyone, and I really believe we don't. We don't have anyone who doesn't care about doing it well.
100%.
They just might not know what a great conversation looks like.
Totally.
And, I mean, to all of us, you know, stepping in on, you know, lining people out on what we're going to do today, what that work is, until you've done it, you haven't done it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we continue to grow the workforce, we need to be able to show people what that looks like and what really good examples are. And I think one of the things that's so great about this is we can look at that data. We can see what a good conversation is. We can promote those good conversations. And it allows us to learn at a faster pace and continue. You know, we believe we are a learning company. We are continuing to improve, but you need to provide those examples so people know what it is they're looking for.
That's right. And these indirect challenges were also so rock kickers, right? So you got a guy who's in a conversation, and I have a guy. Let's say I'm a young leader, by the way, I got my trade guy. Just showed like nobody. I don't have the Flint Co culture. I'm just here to do my thing, and I got two people kicking rocks in my meeting. Mm-hmm. Who's going to help me with the rock kickers? What's the right way to deal with the rock kicker? These are the things that by the way, as leaders, as an industry, we're all in this together. We have to help people. And it is not, by the way, yell at the rock kicker.
That's right. No, you can't do that.
Believe me, it's humanly possible, yeah. But do not is a bad idea. But the point is, there needs to be dialogue about that. There has to be coaching. And as leaders, as a general contractor on these job sites, you can choose to take it, the responsibility to say, how am I going to help other people with their real problems? Which is, how do I help Larry with his rock kickers? Which will not only help Larry with his daily planning conversation, but it's going to help him have a better relationship with his crew to be able to solve his problems, which is going to help me get my job done, which, by the way, is going to help the next guy down the road, maybe my competitor, get their job done. Mm-hmm. But we're all rising, all boats are rising with this tide. That's... Yep. The big deal, and you can show people examples. There's lots of stuff you can do, but we couldn't even begin to work on these problems previously because we had no chance of, the cost was too high. Let's just say it that way. And so that's what's exciting and what's interesting about this.
It is. Thinking about engaging the rock kickers, as you say, I mean, we talk a lot in this industry right now. The workforce that we need to build the amount of work that is coming is greater than what we've ever needed before. We have less workforce. So we can't afford to have rock kickers leave because we're not engaging them.
Right.
We have to engage every part of the workforce that we can get to our job sites to be able to do what we want to do every day.
And I think you're creating an atmosphere on the job with the care, with the authenticity, with the positive attitude that the people on the job help take care of the rock kickers.
Right.
That when everybody has this opportunity to be a leader and everybody has the opportunity to be heard, it's kind of like, hey man, get with the program. Like, are you really going to kick rocks again today? Like you did it yesterday. Like, come on, let's get it together. Let's make sure that we're working as a team today to accomplish the goal. Right. And don't drag us down, man. We don't need your negative attitude. Yeah. Help us.
And Dan, I thought you hit on just a great point earlier is that person that, might be a rock kicker today, they may not have been yesterday. We've all been rock kickers one day where other things are going on in life and just kind of has you down. You're not engaged. And I think even today is even more important that we are engaging people every day and we're able to pick out, boy, they're not engaged today. And because we're having this conversation, I can recognize that they're not and go ask questions about that. And how can we help everybody at every level?
It's so important. It brings you back to something y'all were talking about earlier. So you may or may not know this. Conversations are not consistent. So an individual conversation means it's interesting. But if you have 10, 20, 50 of them, they become really, really interesting. And it turns out that lots of different factors influence conversations. Are you got stuff that's going on individually, but the big one that we don't talk about very much, pressure. So ABC owner just told us we got to be out of this building by end of the month, 2 weeks from now, right? Something's changed, blah 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 blah, all the stuff that's happened. Guess what can happen immediately? People, clocks in those brains start spinning up. Well, guess what? It manifests itself in what? How they talk to each other.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a baseline, if first of all, we don't have any conversation what we're talking about, then we know what a normal conversation looks at. Then we start, and by the way, no one says, oh, my clock is starting to think differently. I'm going to, you know right. what I mean? We don't do that.
Yeah.
But you follow me like, hey, suddenly I'm not asking any questions. Suddenly there's not as much participation. Suddenly we're just kind of, you know, we're getting on with it. The people didn't change. You know what I mean? Like they're still the same leaders. They're the same. We have an opportunity as an organization to say, take a beat. We do got to get out by the middle because the owner says we're going to go do it. But now how are we going to do this? It's akin to the lightning thing. Like, yeah, the world's changed. Now what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And if we, as organizations, we have the responsibility to try and catch it and see what we can do to influence the situation to help people slow down. Otherwise, people are going to do their natural instincts. They're going to do it too.
Right. And they're going to be short with people and they're all of a sudden the work becomes quicker. It becomes less safe. And I think it's, you can begin to see that in the conversation or you can begin to see it in the recorded video. But at the same time, it's a trigger. And even it's, sometimes it's, they don't want to call for extra help. There might be 10 guys on the bench, but they don't want to look bad calling the office saying, hey, I need more folks. Or maybe they don't have the right people. They have the fitters and they need the welders, or they have the carpenters and they need the framer, whatever it is.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's an opportunity for us to help also. And just, hey, we can put in the call and say, hey, look, you know, dates moved up. If you got a few more people, we'd love to have a few more people. And guess what? The people show up, the attitude changes, the dates met, right?
That's
and it's having that visibility and having that opportunity. You might not even know there's an opportunity to help if you're just reading the daily plan.
That's right.
Right.
Dan, it's a huge thing, by the way. We're moving from a take to a give.
Mm, yeah.
Right. So the old activity, and by the way, this is related to lots of different safety activities, was you're going to give me a piece of paper. I'm going to look at it and then bless you with my great knowledge, right, that I'm so smart and coach you, which, yeah. you know, stop it.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. It was all take, take, take. Right? I'm going to run you down. You were up on a ladder and you get down off that ladder. You go get your piece of paper and you come over here and explain to me what's on your piece of paper. First of all, the ridiculousness of that, if you stop and think about it, is just absurd. Anyway, to an environment, which is what you were just saying, which is, hey, I choose to listen so that I can give, right? I can serve. I can do something for you. I hear lots of stories from Flint Cove guys. So it's like, yeah, I'm sitting in my truck before I left the house. I watched a couple of videos. Hey, I can see what's, but first of all, I was going to go over here. Now I'm going to go over here because I heard that poor got moved up or whatever it is. And oh, by the way, I know that I can stop by the shop or stop by the whatever and pick up something, right? And just give it to somebody. Hey, by the way, I heard that guy on that video was kind of struggling. He was going to be this thing. I can just show up and go see how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely different relationship to this activity than what we were able to do in the past. And that's, it's just, that's going to help us build better and keep people, and they like it more.
And it's the opportunity to listen, right? And that's huge, right? So often everybody just wants to talk. And as the contract manager, the opportunity to listen, to hear what's going on, to understand what's going on. Like you said, you could redirect your day and you show up and you encourage that one person that, you know, they move the concrete pour up and you know that your guys have 50 embeds left to set. It's, hey, show up. Hey, you guys are doing a great job. What can I help with? Or show up with your pliers and your tie wire and maybe you tie a few in place or whatever it is. But that's the opportunity which builds the community, which builds the authenticity, gives the leader an opportunity. It might be the project manager, the superintendent, whoever, the CEO that says, hey, I'm going to swing by. This job is on the way into work, and I know they moved up the pour. I'm going to swing by and just pat the superintendent on the back. Great job making it today.
Yeah.
Thanks absolutely. For what you do.
Yes, sir.
And I think that reinforces kind of all of this circles back to kind of the last line in the ethos about it's a privilege to work here. Right. And I think that's kind of the tie it back together is it's a privilege, right? Because we are cared about the not only the Flint Co. employees, but also the trade partners, right? And it's all facilitated by this easy conversation every morning, which takes work off my plate, which is a beautiful thing, right? What's your thought about the privilege to work here, Steve? Was that kind of part of what y'all were working for as we took on the Smart Tagit journey?
You know, I think we see the success we're having with Smart Tagit because we have that. as because we already had that built into the culture of the company, that we were looking for, you know, how do we, you know, continue to move it forward. And we want everyone to be successful. We want to be a better place for people to be. And if we can help with a tool that maybe pulls something off your plate, or actually I think about it, it just helps transform, you know, really what that task was from a task to a conversation. Right. And that's a totally different look at it. And I think that's what is going to continue to have people look at Flinco and say, I like that culture, because they're living the culture that they've been talking about.
That's right. And the culture was there. What we're all trying to do, and this is the important part of this, is just align as tightly as we can to ensure that everybody is they understand what you're trying to communicate. They can they show that privilege. And the more leaders who do that more consistently, the more likely you're gonna get the outcome that you expect, which is obviously not hurting people, making money, getting off the job, no rework. Mm-hmm. Right? Hitting the number, schedule number. That's what we're doing here. And better leaders do it. By the way, you got some people who do it naturally. They come to them and they got it. The kingdom was all that kind of stuff. And then you got, just like you were talking before, you got some new people who are graduating high school who have maybe didn't come from the best environment. Maybe lots of factors. This is a chance to quickly, you said this before, show them how to tie their shoes at Flinco. Right? This is what leadership shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And ethos shoes. And it's people, by the way, are quite smart. They don't need pandering and PowerPoint slides. If I watch this thing and this guy, you say, look, like, here's a video of a guy reading somebody. You think that's good? No. Here's a video of a guy actually having a conversation. What's that guy do? Which one of those do you want to do? I want to do that one. Okay, do that. Great. They'll do it. Maybe they won't do it perfectly, but they'll do it. And mm-hmm. maybe they have some rock kickers. You'll help them. Yeah. But we won't. We don't need 20 years. Right?
That
young man to be a good leader. And by the way, it just, you help out like really quickly. If you struggle with it, there's people like Daniel that come and talk to you and say, well, you know, I'm struggling with this. I don't know how to do this. Why are we doing these things? That in and of itself, the conversation outside of the conversation is just as important as this conversation.
And having those conversations so they feel comfortable to ask that question.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's back to this moving from take to give, which is what I really like that, right? It's an opportunity rather than take the form, but to give back, and for us to be able to give back to the people, and for the people to be able to give leadership opportunity and give back to the crews and us as well. So, Callie, I love it. Smart Taggett it's coming to a job site near you if you're on a Flinco job site. And,
thank you.
It's been awesome having y'all on today. Barry, it's been a pleasure. Steve, it's great to have you on as well. I appreciate the time. Appreciate the technology, and really looking forward to what Flinco continues to turn into.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
Thanks
Dana.
For having us.
Thank you, Steve. We sure appreciate it.
For all the trade partners or all our friends that are listening today, we're going to do a follow-up to this one. We're going to get Barry and Steve back in the house, and we want to hear from you and what this Smart Taggett can do for you and for your company, and how it offers leadership opportunities to the people that make you money. Thank you. Such a long